Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of SBI Life Insurance Company Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Jhingran, Managing Director and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So good evening, everyone. We welcome you all to the result update call of SBI Life Insurance Company Limited for the period ended December 31, 2023. We appreciate and thank you wholeheartedly for your time here. Update on our financial results can be assessed on our website as well as the websites of both the stock exchanges. Along with me present here today are Mr. S. Veeraraghavan, Deputy CEO, Shri Sangramjit Sarangi, President and CFO, Shri Ravi Krishnamurthy, President, Operations and IT, Shri Abhijit Gulanikar, President, Business Strategy, Shri Subhendu Bal, Chief Actuary and Chief Risk Officer, Shri Prithesh Chaubey, Appointed Actuary, and Ms. Smita Verma, Senior Vice President, Finance and Investor Relations. With respect to our performance for the period ended December 31, 2023, our comprehensive product suite aligned with customers' needs, coupled with our continued focus on business growth, maintaining a best-in-class cost ratio and persistency level, led to a decent performance on an exceptionally high base of last year's period. During this year till date, we have strengthened our market position and invested in capacity building for the employees and distributors with respect to handling the emerging needs of the customers and to support long-term growth. Now, let me give brief highlights of our performance for the period ended December 30, 2023. Our new business premium registered a growth of 21% over the previous period and stands at rupees 260 billion and maintained private market leadership with a share of 25.3%. Individual new business premium now stands at rupees 177.6 billion with a strong growth of 17% and a private market share of 29.1%. Gross written premium stands at rupees 561.9 billion with a growth of 19%. Protection new business premium grew by 17% to rupees 29.7 billion. Profit after tax stands at rupees 10.8 billion with 15% growth over the corresponding period last year. Value of new business stands at rupees 40.4 billion, registering a growth of  11% over the last period. VONB margin stands at 28.1% for the period ended December 31, 2023. Asset under management grew by 24% to rupees 3,714.1 billion. Robust solvency ratio of 2.09 as against the regulatory requirement of 1.50. We provide comprehensive insurance catering to customers' unique needs and aspirations. In addition, we enhance their experience through personalized and innovative solutions, and this has been acknowledged by prestigious awards and accolades. During the year, the company had bagged Quality Award in Service Industry, Indian Merchant Chambers, Ramkrishna Bajaj National Quality Award 2022, and became eligible for Global Performance Excellence Award. We are happy to announce that the company was awarded as World Class in Service category at the 23rd Global Performance Excellence Award 2023 held in November 2023. These awards demonstrate our commitment to achieve excellence across all spheres of its activities and operations. Last week, we launched two new return-of-premium products, Saral Shodhan Supreme and SBI Life Smart Shodhan Supreme, which offer higher sum assured as compared to previous versions at affordable pricing. As we move forward, we aim to deliver strong performance and drive positive impact. We will now update you on each of the key elements in detail. Let me start with the premium. Individual new business premium has grown to rupees 177.6 billion with a year-on-year growth of 17%. Single premium contribution is 31% of the individual NBP, which is mainly attributed to growth in our individual annuity products. The company gained in private market share by 184 basis points to 29.1% and industry market share by 173 basis points to 17.8%. On individual rated new business premium, we stand at rupees 127.9 billion with a growth of 15% over previous period and maintaining our leadership position with private market share of 26.5% with a gain of 80 basis points. And at industry level, we gained 115 basis points with a market share of 17.9%. Also, group new business premium stands at rupees 82.4 billion with a share of 32% in new business premium and growth of 31% over previous period. Having said that, we have collected total new business premium of rupees 260 billion, registering private market share of 25.3% with a gain of 219 basis points. And at industry level, also we gained 240 basis points and market share stands at 10.4%. Renewal premium grew by 17% to rupees 301.9 billion, which accounts for 54% of the gross written premium. To sum up, the gross written premium stands at rupees 561.9 billion with a YOY growth of 19%. In terms of APE, premium stands at rupees 143.9 billion, registering a growth of 17%. Out of this, individual APE stands at rupees 129.1 billion with growth of 15%. During the period ended December 31, 2023, total 16.42 lakh new policies were issued. Since 2010, the company has maintained its leadership position amongst private market in number of policies issued and consistently delivered YOY growth over the years. This reflects the clear goal of the company to increase the penetration and achieve holistic growth. The company is aligned with regulators' vision and will continue to focus on various reforms enabling deeper penetration of life insurer industry. Number of lives covered during the period ended December 31, 2023 is 25.8 million, registering a growth of 104% over corresponding last period. Total new business sum assured registered a growth of 32% over corresponding last period as compared to growth of 29% at industry level. Let me give you details of our product mix. As on December 23, our guaranteed non-par saving products are contributing 14% of individual new business and on individual APE basis, it contributes 19%. Individual ULIP new business premium is at rupees 101.7 billion, which now constitutes 57% of individual new business premium. Growth in ULIP is attributed to positive movement in equity markets. Individual protection new business premium is at rupees 6.7 billion. Group protection stands at rupees 23.1 billion with growth of 25%. Credit Life new business premium has grown by 11% and stands at rupees 16 billion. On APE basis, protection contributes 11% of new business and registered growth of 24%. Annuity business is at rupees 44.4 billion and contributes 17% of new business premium. under annuity, the company is offering immediate as well as deferred annuity options. Individual annuity business is growing at 35% over last period, and this is mainly due to new business contribution of smart annuity plans of rupees 38.7 billion. Total annuity and pension new business underwritten by the company is rupees 67.9 billion, registering growth of 12% over same period. Moving to update on distribution partners. With the strength of more than 59,000 CIFs, State Bank of India and RRBs, bancassurance business contributes share of 67% and grew by 13% in individual new business premium. On individual APE basis, it stands at rupees 89.6 billion with growth of 15%. Agency channel registered new business premium growth of 21% and contributes 18% in new business premium. Agency channel individual APE showed a growth of 14% over same period last year and stands at rupees 33.7 billion. As on December 31st, the total number of agents stands at absolute number, 243,590, with a growth of 26% over previous period. During the period ended, the company added net 24,860 agents. During the period ended December 31st, other channel, that is direct corporate agents, brokers, online and web aggregators, grew by 55% in terms of individual NBP and 20% in individual APE. Linked business through other channel registered growth of 45% on APE basis. Coming to profitability, the company's profit after tax for the period ended December 31st, 2023, stands at rupees 10.8 billion with 15% YoY growth. Our solvency ratio remains strong at 209% as on December 31st. The value of new business stands at rupees 40.4 billion with growth of 11% as against rupees 36.3 billion in last period. VONB margin is at 28.1% for the period ended December 31st, 2023. The shift in VONB is mainly on account of increase in share of ULIP business as compared to previous year. Operational efficiency ratios say that the OpEx ratio stands at 5.1% for the period ended December 31st. Our total cost ratio stands at only 9.9% for the same period. With respect to persistency, our individual regular premium and limited premium paying policy, 13th month persistency stands at 85.3%. The company has registered improvement in 61-month persistency also by 449 basis points, respectively. As mentioned in my opening remarks, asset under management stands at rupees 3.71 trillion as on December 31st, having a growth of 24% compared to December 31, 2022. Death claim settlement ratio now stands at 98.8%. The company has registered an improvement of 148 basis points over last period in claim settlement ratio. We are committed to deliver need-based solution that addresses the ever-evolving customer needs based on customer profile, life stage, and goal prioritization. The company continues efficient usage of technology for simplification of processes, with 99% of the individual proposals being submitted digitally. 47% of individual proposals are processed through automated underwriting. Before I conclude, I would like to clearly state that the company's aspiration to expand its distribution reach, branch network, product suite, investment in digital technology, bringing larger customers in ambit of insurance coverage, and improving customer experience remains unchanged, and our endeavor is to continue delivering better than industry growth. Our company is well-positioned to capitalize the growth opportunities offered in the dynamic insurance landscape. Thank you all, and now we are happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avinash Singh from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Good set of numbers, particularly on the margin in the backdrop of how the product mix has changed and everything. Couple of questions here. First one on agency channel. I'm cognizant of the fact that the quarter three is typically a more banker dominated. However, on a year-on-year basis, the seasonality is addressed. But somehow, agency channel growth seems to have slowed down meaningfully in quarter three. So what is happening there, and how you are trying to improve in the next quarter and going forward on the agency channel? So that is question one. Second piece is more on the costs. Of course, your costs are by far better in the industry and among the peer set. However, I mean, if we were to look at the numbers, there seems to be certain increase happening. I mean, of course, in the total premium ratio, it will not reflect. But in the absolute basis, the costs, I mean, commission and rewards, as well as the OPEX, seems to be increasing. So is, I mean, what is leading? Is this a headcount increase or certain commission rewards structure being changed across partners? So what is leading, and where should one see it going forward? So these are my two questions. Thank you.
So agency channel growth you were talking about, we have grown in the 9-month period by 15%. And if you look at the overall growth, that is also around 15%. Our banker channel growth is also on the same numbers almost. So I don't see any slowdown in the agency. Rather, agency is more of a focus area to strengthen our distribution total mix. So that continues to be a focus area. As far as increasing expenses you are talking about, there is no such perceptible increase. There is only minor tweaking in commission here and there, but there is no major change in our stance on commission payment also. So the overall OPEX ratio, marginal bips here and there, otherwise we are in the almost at the same ratio.
Okay, sir, actually, yeah. So in agency, actually, I was referring, in the first half, the agency channel was growing at close to 20-odd% in a retail APE, individual APE terms. That 20% has gone to 50, whereas banker is more or less like maintaining at 15%, and others are kind of maintaining in and around 20%. That's why what I was referring, that in the first half, it was like 20%. Now in the 9 months, it's 15%. So basically, the quarter gone by has been a material slowdown. So
you yourself acknowledge that quarter three usually is more of the banker focused, and agency comes back strongly in Q4. So that is what we are expecting in the current year also. And we are expecting good numbers, same growth numbers in Q4 of this year.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions over here. So we've seen many players are now refocusing or pivoting their business model to enter into the tier 2, 3, 4 cities, right? So clearly the competition in these geographies are set to rise. So in the backdrop of this, knowing that next year onwards, many more private players who were more metro city focused are going to be in your geographies, what gives us an edge in competition versus these players? What would be our guidance for next year or at least for the medium term? If you can help us understand that, it would be useful. So second is on the surrender value regulation. While we understand that things are currently under discussion, but what is your view on how things are moving? What will be the timelines and what could be the impact on your overall margins with the way the regulation comes in? Thank you. These are my two questions.
As this tier three, tier four cities you are talking about, almost 39% of our business is from rural and semi-urban areas. And you are aware that our main banker partner SBI has the largest presence in the rural and semi-urban areas, three, four or even five, six kind of cities, also cities or towns or villages, whatever you say. So we don't see much challenge on this front, although the other players are moving to that market, but it will take them a while to match our strength, and in the meantime we are also strengthening our network in those towns and cities and villages by employing more agents and ensuring better coverage by our existing and the branches that we are going to open.
So sure. So does that also mean that you will also expand your presence in SBI branches? And sir, any guidance for growth for next year?
So there is no question of expanding our SBI branches, because we are present in all branches of SBI. So all SBI branches are authorized to sell insurance business, and that is what they are doing also currently. Of course, we will make maybe more and more branches active.
I had a question on surrender value regulation also.
Would you like to answer that, Sangram?
The surrender value regulation, as this currently it is in the draft state, so we have given our representation in both ways. One is to the regulated as well as to the Life Insurance Council. But we don't see any much big impact to SBI Life per se, because it all depends on what kind of product mix and what kind of product feature we have already built in our system. So we will wait that in which avatar it will come finally from the regulator. But at this moment, we are not having any concern as far as this regulation is concerned.
So any timelines on that?
We are awaiting the
final guidelines from the regulator are still under works, and the discussions are going on in that direction. But I am sure that the regulator will take a very balanced view of people who are cashing out on in the short term and the long term persistency of the that is the stated goal of the insurance products, that is the long term investment and risk protection.
Sure, okay. Thank you so much. Please answer my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. Firstly, as a follow-up on previous participant's question, I just wanted to understand from you why agency 4Q generally would be a larger quarter and 3Q would be relatively tepid, because if I understand correctly, in 3Q, particularly in December, it is the MDRT period and agents would also try to focus on increasing volume. So is there any you know difference how you know the focus would be on banker versus agency in the third quarter? From your distribution point of view? So that is the first question. Secondly, sir, I had questions on the protection segment. So first of all, in group protection, if you could delineate, you know, the growth which has come this time, from which segment it has come, credit life or term life, what are the trends you are seeing in those areas? And in retail protection, given that you have mentioned that you have introduced ROP product and that we had a tepid quarter now, going ahead, do we expect growth coming back to this segment on the retail protection side? And also, just couple of confirmations I wanted to take was, one is on persistency. So if I just look at 3Q persistency versus 2Q persistency reported, it was the numbers in that case look a slight dip. Is there anything to read into that apart from the fact that maybe, you know, in all third quarters, there is a higher mix of ULIP that hits the persistency number? Anything else to read into that? And on the changes in assumptions that we see in the VNB walk, is there anything additional you have done, or is this, you know, what we had done at the end of 31st March, that is what is visible? That would be my questions.
So, Abhijit here, so I'll take on the channel. As of now, I don't see we would read too much into quarter-on-quarter channel numbers. There could be some fluctuations here and there. Like Mr. Jhingran already explained, that the focus remains strongly both on agency and banca channel, and we don't see any meaningful difference in the expected growth rate from the current levels for those channels for the financial year. That was your first question. On the second, on protection, yes, we would expect some growth coming from individual protection in quarter four. That is our endeavor, that we will try and grow the flattish growth we have seen in individual protection to take it higher, because this year growth has come primarily from group. So we would also want to work on individual protection to increase our individual protection share.
Right, sir. On group protection, if you could, you know, spell out which are the segments, I mean, which segment is driving the growth?
It's group term mainly at the moment. So both are growing, but group term is growing faster in this year so far.
Okay, sir. One of your peers who report, they have highlighted that there is a price correction in group term. So in your case, is this more volume-led? And if so, where, I mean, which, I mean, where the volume is coming from, if you could give some color.
No comments on that. No comments on that.
Okay. And on the persistency and the economic assumption changes, if you could highlight.
So assumption, just to clarify that we have not make any change in assumption this time. The assumption remain unchanged, and the assumption impact that you are looking into is the same assumption that we make at year-end. As a process, we do the review the assumption once in a year, so we'll do in the March. As of now, we're not seeing that. Second part on the persistency, I think, persistency is good. I think, there is nothing specific to come, read into numbers, and quarter-on-quarter, maybe 10 basis points here, we get even better in the other one. And even look into the other than 36-month persistency, all persistency has improved over the periods.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much for your answers.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, you know, most of my questions got answered, but I want to understand, first, at the product level, are we seeing any changes in margins? Because, you know, some of the competition in life insurance is talking about that. Second, within channels, and especially my understanding is also that within the agency channel, there has been some increase in commission payouts. So has there been any increase in competitive intensity to acquire business? That also probably may have impacted to your growth in Q3. So, I wanted to understand if any of these things are playing out, and how do you see that? And lastly, obviously, again, we see that the proportion of ULIPs has gone up. And I know that you constantly, you know, talk about, you know, giving what the customer wants or selling what the customer really wants to sell. So, but you know, again, in terms of our margins, that will keep our margins subdued. So I know that I'm probably asking this question again, but Any sense on how our product mix could shape up over the next two, three years? That will also be helpful. Thanks.
As product level margins are concerned, there is no perceptible change, or we have not noticed any perceptible change. They are more or less in the same range. And agency channel, we have not made any changes in the commission structure, other than minor tweaking that I already answered to one of the previous analysts. And we are confirming that again, that there has not been any major changes in our commission structure. As far as you were talking about, yeah.
Sir, is that sort of resulting in some sort of loss in our share in that channel and resulting in a little lower growth?
No, we continue to be number one in agency channel also in the private industry. And our growth rate is also comparable. I mean, some of the smaller players may be having a smaller base, may be having a larger percentage-wise increase, but overall our growth trend in agency is as per our earlier guidance. Then you were talking about the customer preference and ULIP share and all. So while we honor the customer's preference of ULIP and we do not stop anybody from buying or from to our agents, stopping our agents from selling any particular product, but in the for the benefit of the entire insurance industry, our focus on other insurance products, the protection products, will continue, and we will continue to work to improve the protection business in our overall business scenario also.
Right. Got it. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nischint Savate from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Going back to the surrender charges.
Sir, your audio is not clear. May we request to kindly use your handset, please?
Sure. Is this better?
Yes, sir. Please continue. Thank you.
Thanks. Going back to the surrender charges proposed regulation, surrender charges do have a kind of a contribution to the overall VNB, and I guess that's obviously a big point of discussion in the industry. So why do you think that this kind of does not really have an impact on SBI Life?
Before we comment on what the draft regulation coming from regulator, I think it is, we'll wait what shape will come, but ultimately it is the best interest of the industry itself, both for the customer, insurer and distributor as well. Like, one point we'd like to always mention that our objective when we price the product is to ensure that we offer the long-term sustainable rate and fair to return to the customer. And in this process, we also ensure equity between the surrendering policyholder and continuing policyholder. So to that aspect, there will be, we don't think there will be no impact. I think there will be some impact, but not to that extent that our peers might have. The reason being, if you see that in our process, our return that we offer the customer is not entirely backed by the surrender value, surrender penalty and other part. So if you see our return to even the non-par saving product is not too aggressive as compared to others. And in that process, a reason being that we assume a very sustainable persistency and that prospective with objective improvement in the persistency from the current level, given that persistency has been continuously improving. To that extent, though some condition coming to the VNB, we can't say that there is no condition coming from, but in our case, that will be on the lower order, first thing. Second part would be, if we look at the product mix, our non-par contribution is much lower as compared to others. We continue to sell the ULIP, still dominated, and ULIP, you see the surrender charges is much lower still. So from that perspective, we conclude all the things. I think we don't expect there will be significant or material impact in our margin. I think even the regulation will come, appropriately we'll price those products
and objective would be to again bring the balance between the customer return and our margin.
Sure. What would be average ticket size in the non-par product? Or if you could give the average ticket size across par and non-par and ULIPs.
It's a 90.
Around 90,000.
90,000, approximately.
This is in the non-par?
Yes.
And on ULIPs?
It's more than 100,000.
Okay. And par would be?
Par would be slightly lower side. And par depend on, again, product, because some part has higher things, so, but would be slightly lower from the non-par.
Sure. Just one small question. If I look at slide 14, you know, surrender ratio has gone up in the last 9 months. How should we really read that?
Nischint, the surrender value has two aspects to it. One is that it depends on the market, because it is predominantly ULIP products, and those products which are already 5-year premium paying term, and the policyholder has the option to surrender. And at this moment, when the returns are good, market is good, so it has the implication into the surrender ratio to the AUM.
Sure. Got it. Great. Thank you very much. Those are my questions. All the best.
Thanks, Nischint.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. A few questions from my side. Firstly, if you can, you know, kind of mention the product pipeline for the next 3 months and maybe for next half year. Second, you know, when you say that your agency payout has been tweaked here and there, could you give some color on that? Is it like more product mix being changed, or you have linked your payouts to operational performance of products, or is it just payouts have changed success drivers? And lastly, you know, you have added a lot of agents over the last few years and have gained market share in that. But can you give some color on how the vintage-wise agent productivity would have changed historically versus, let's say, the last 1 or 2 years and currently?
So in terms of vintage-wise, there is a marginal improvement in agent productivity over a period of time. I would not want to comment on vintage-wise agency productivity. That is what we would want to say as far as agency is concerned. On the product margin, I think Pritesh can build.
I think product side, you are looking for the products and pipeline thing. So basically, as you know, we always endeavor to offer a complete suite to the customer. So recently, we have launched this TROP product. We will working on some of the saving product in non-par segment. We're also working on one product in part. And some of the, like, bank we have the, you know, we keep selling. We are also looking to the either sale prospective to long-term pure term product as well. So it's depending on the need will come. We also evaluating some of the bring some novel feature in our deferred annuity product as well. So it will be difficult to comment on the all year for the longer perspective, but currently 3 to 6 months, so this is the target we are looking into.
Actually, sir, and on the agency payout perspective, is it like success variables are linked to mix change or operational performance or something?
No, there is nothing specific like that for our agency channel. So what we have been doing, we are continuously being focusing on our agency, as Abhijit said, on the productivity as well as the activity levels. And we'll continue to focus on the recruitment also and training.
Got it, sir. If I can just squeeze in one small question. Your non-SBI, non-agency channel growth has been quite strong, YOY, YTD. So is it like you're gaining some higher volume from the PSU banks, or is it from a new broker or corporate agency partnership where you're gaining counter share or higher volume? Can you give some color on that? Thank you.
No, that is predominantly on our own website where the volume has gone up as compared to last year. So that has reflected in that overall number for that particular channel.
Got it. Thank you, all of us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishi Jhunjhunwala from IIFL Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions. So firstly, you know, are there any considerations or pressure in terms of, you know, increasing payouts for your banca and agency channel? And, you know, one of the reasons I'm saying is because, you know, some of your larger peers have increased commission payouts by 2 to 3x over the year, especially on the traditional plan. So, you know, any discussions around that for us as well?
So, you have seen our commission payout numbers for the quarter, for the last half year also, and I think the last half year results post that also the same questions were asked to us, and we had confirmed that at the present time we are not going into any commission enhancement for our partners as of now. Yes, we continue to be the lowest cost player in the industry, and our cost of acquisition we don't want to increase as of now. And since this strategy is giving us comfortable growth numbers as of now, we will stick to the present structure only for the time being.
Okay, sir. And secondly, just in terms of, you know, the margin mix that has changed over the last 12 months or so, you have indicated 200 basis points decline has come from the business mix and profile. And if you really look at AP mix change, it's predominantly a 4 to 5% shift from non-par to ULIPs, which so just wanted to understand. I mean, is it primarily to do with just shift, or you know, at a product level also there might have been some compression on the portfolio side?
No, this mainly on the shift on account of the product mix, because the non-par had 5% shift from non-par to ULIP, and there is no compression on the margin. In fact, if you see this, in within the LOB, with the non-par, we have seen some enhancement in the margin and the prospective. So we, as we always mentioned, that we reprice actively and try to maintain the margin and customer IRR. So that perspective, the shift is coming only on account of the product mix.
Understood. Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Kodha from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, if I see the numbers, your first year commission ratio is in 9 months is around 14%. Last year it was around 12.4%. And if I look at the product mix, naturally the product mix has moved in the favor of ULIPs. And ULIPs typically have lower commissions compared to non-par or par in, and even protection in the sense. So just wanted to understand what led to this increase in commission ratio in first year. Again, maybe we are harping on the same point, that whether the payouts to the channels have marginally gone up, that's point number one. And related question is, if you report VNB margin based on last year cost, if the commission payouts have gone up, the current year cost structure will be different compared to the last year. So when you will revisit your assumptions in fourth quarter, is there a probability of negative impact coming because of the higher expense towards first year business on the margin? And similarly, I just wanted to understand, given the surrender rates have gone up, last year it was benign at 4.3, today it is at 6.1. You might have reported last year margin based on surrender rate of 4.3, today is 6.1. So if you bake in 6.1, whether it will have a negative impact on the margin. So just wanted to understand this part very clearly, why the payouts have gone up in first year, and second, any implication on the margins given the payouts have gone up and surrender rates have gone up.
So one by one, I think if you look at the commission has gone up, despite this is mainly a function of the product, and within the product what PPT has been. So despite you see the non-par proportion has come down, there is a shift from the shorter pay to the longer pay, and like we mentioned September as well, we have some of the product that are offering 6 pay, that has more shift has happened to 7 pay and 10 pay, and in general the longer term has a higher commission, so that's a reflecting on that perspective. So this is one part.
If I understood it right, what you're trying to say is that you are selling more long-term plans compared to what you sold last year. Given the long-term plans have higher payouts, that resulted increase in the commission ratio, right?
Yes. Sanket, just add one thing here, that in this quarter, our non-par also has shown a growth.
And as Vithesh said, the PPTs have been actually, you know, based on that, the commissions have been fixed. So that is the reason for this quarter, the overall commission ratio has gone up.
Yes, sir, I was referring to 9 month to 9 month number, nothing to do with the third quarter. So I was just referring 9 month to 9 month, 12.4 going to 14. So that was the point.
No, Sanket, so my response was on the year basis, year on year basis. So if you look into the last 9 months to this 9 months, there is a shift up coming to the longer pay. So that should explain that. Second part, our question on the assumed expenses, I think all the, except the renewal expenses that might be looking into my VVA, but all actual expenses we considered while computing the VNB. So there is no possibility that we'll get any hit on account of the hearing. So that's a out of the question. Third, respond to your third question on the percentage. Like we always mention that we, while setting the assumption, we take a longer term view and not frequently changing. So even last year, if you see the percentage has significantly improved over the previous year, we have not changed the assumption to that extent. So even fluctuation will keep coming, but when we set the assumption, that will reflect the long-term trend. Long-term means not historic experience, looking to last 3 years, 5 years, and other perspective. To that perspective, just some change here and there in surrender ratio will not happen. I think other aspect is that we this fluctuation also considered in the projection. So some of the cases in particularly surrender coming on the unit-linked products, where after lock-in period, you see some spike in the surrender. That already accounted for. So that perspective, we don't see much any call-out impact that we may expect in the year-end assumption review process.
The reason I'm asking this question, sir, is that in last 3 years, this number hovered around 4%. Suddenly, this jumped to 6.1, the surrender rate. That is happening after 5 year lock-in. So given your long-term trend is around 4, now it is 6. So just wondering whether it will have an implication or not.
Sanket, the way to look at it is actuaries will build persistency ratios into it. This surrender will have multiple generation of policies built into it. Somebody which is 10-year-old could also get surrendered right now. So you see what is our persistency rate, 60+ month is also showing improvement, and our longer term also, though we don't disclose it, are showing improvement. So to that extent, and as I said, we are conservatively budgeting while doing VNB. So we don't see any major concern on 31st March arising from the surrender rate.
Perfect, sir. So the second one more question I had was again on the productivity. Means if I look at banker channel productivity, it seems to have just grown by 6% in the current 9 months compared to last year. Means last year in 9 months it was around 6 million rupees. Today it is 6.6 million rupees. So anything to read there, sir? Kiki, there is something kind of plateauing in the banker channel. The expected or productivity levels actually can go meaningfully higher from the current levels.
So you are looking productivity in what way? Per branch, or how do you want to look at it?
Yeah, the way you disclose it in the PPT, sir. The PPT number says that branch productivity is 66 lakhs. That number was 62 lakhs last 9 months, FY23. So I was coming from that perspective.
So you see, our penetration in the banker channel in state bank customer group is less than 2%. So there is a huge opportunity out there, and there are huge opportunities to grow, which will affect the branch productivity also. So there is immense opportunity, and we are ready to tap that. We don't see any challenge on the branch productivity growth front.
Oh, okay, sir. And lastly, just wanted to understand whether you will ever pursue an inorganic growth opportunity, or you are happy with the channels which give you the growth. Because there was an article few days back in the paper that probably there is an inorganic opportunity you are scouting for. So just want to take clarity from you, from a strategy point of view, whether you are okay for inorganic part of growing the company, or you think that your own channels will give the growth, no need to chase for inorganic part.
No comments on that as of now.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from UBS India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand in terms of product mix, we obviously have moved much higher on the ULIP, but our margins have actually, you know, kind of quite sustained. And you are saying the margins have been quite similar. So just there's some disconnect. Just wanted to understand how the margin movement have, you know, supported the outcome what we have seen currently.
So there are two parts of this. One is that when there is shift coming from the product mix from the non-part to ULIP, there is a downward impact coming on the margins. At the same time, within the non-par, within the protection, within the ULIP, within the particular line, there is a margin enhancement coming from. So, if you remember, last time also, September, we mentioned that we have revisited, I think, three times for annuity, twice on the non-par products, and we repriced other protection product as well. Objective is to realign and maintain the margin. So, and like I mentioned in earlier, respond to earlier question as well, that while product mix bring down my margin, the within the LOB, particularly for longer term policies having higher margin, that gives some comp of those power. And that's the reason you're seeing, when you commensurate, the margin fall on account of product mix might be looking lower as per your estimate.
So there has been some enhancement in the product level margins, which I think in the initial comment got missed out probably. Is the understanding correct?
No, you understand correct. There is a margin enhancement within the product and within the particular profile, because depending on the within the policy term, what kind of combination you are selling, what kind of business happens, so the margin will vary on this aspect. So you get some of the offset that compensate the fall in the margin on account of higher mix.
Got it. And hopping on the last question again, on because of the increase in cost and increasing surrenders, and since the assumptions have not been changed since last year, do we maintain the guidance range of between 28% to 30%, or do we see that we could be a little off to that because there could be some impact due to change in recent higher cost what we are seeing currently, or that's already baked in? Because as you are saying, we look at the longer term trend more rather than the short term volatility. So how should one think about the overall VNB margin, and also if you can give some guidance in terms of next year growth and channel wise, which channel which will be the most accretive for us given the current changes and the mis-selling news of which is coming from the banker side and PSUs, if you can also throw some light on that.
So, as you see, there are no such cost pressure seen in our results for the first 9 months. And we stick to our guidance of, around 28% of VNB margin in the coming this quarter also. So, we don't see any perceptible change. Some dips here and there, depending on the product mix, of course, we do not deny that, but 28% is something that we are sticking to.
So, and the growth guidance for next year in terms of APE?
Pardon? I didn't get it.
APE growth guidance for next year?
So next year we are growing at around 15%, and next year is still a quarter away. We will be finalizing our number shortly, and seeing the industry trend and all and our past trend, we continue to stick to around the same number in the coming year also.
And
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-up questions, please. There are several others waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, and congrats on a good set of numbers. Just a couple of questions. Firstly, the new product that you mentioned in the opening remarks, you mentioned that the sum assured is higher and the pricing is lower. So So do we assume that the margins on this product would be lower and how do we look at that? And secondly, there is a lot of talk about growth in deposits some of the banks are that would be looking at. So do you think that, you know, the life insurance segment growth in the banca channel could be at some risk in possibly next year or in the next couple of quarters? And those would be my questions.
So on the product that what you mentioned, in the two products that we launched is in the TROP category, because you see that as a company we sell around 86% TROP. This product has been come with a minimum premium size of 25 lakhs with average will be approximately 75 lakhs kind of thing. So when we saying the premium rate is lower, this means not the lower and price that way. What we saying that when you compare the product, our existing term product, which has been allowed to sell a 5 lakhs and above, when you launch a semester product, your profile and customer profile is much better. To that perspective, we have again re-emphasized our Sigma approach for segmented pricing, and we price those products. So to that perspective, this product is competitive price in these things with adequate margin. So we expect that one side this product will able to attract the better profile in the book. Also help with the high ticket size will help in the growth of the protection business. At the same time, it is competitive and it will margin a creative to the company. As you know, we keep mentioning the protection product has a higher margin and the sale will help us to further enhance this margin.
So as far as deposit growth you are talking about, if you look at the industry level also, the total new business of the life insurance industry is a fraction of the ASCB deposit growth. So two as such are not very comparable. And in addition to that, the regulator's vision, the government's target for increasing insurance penetration, I don't see a very perceptible or meaningful negative effect on the industry numbers in the coming quarter or the year also.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. My first question is on a recent article in the newspaper which talked about how SBI has stopped promotion in its circles till 31st March. Just wanted to understand, how does this impact our growth in the fourth quarter? And two, wanted to understand, you know, what kind of sales practices, changes in sales practices you will have to bring about to address some of the recurring concerns around, you know, mis-selling, which keeps coming up. I understand that your ratios are low, but, you know, these are concerns which keep coming up. So from a sales practice perspective, what are the changes that you are trying to bring about to address these?
If you look at these newspaper reports and compare it with the numbers being reported by us or by regulator also regarding mis-selling, you will see that SBI Life is the lowest, having the lowest number of complaints, and mis-selling complaints are only at around 0.03%. So that is almost negligible. Having said that, compare it with the opportunities available in the banca channel, I am sure that the growth rate that we have registered in the 9 months will continue in the this quarter also. And the first 20 days, we are not seeing any perceptible change in the sales that are being made in banca or agency channel.
Thanks for the answer. I just wanted to understand that, you know, if, you know, the current set of awards or, you know, remuneration for the agents or bank reps cannot continue, then how do you go on rewarding them, how, you know, for the sales?
So I will clarify here again that the individual level, CIF level or branch manager level awards in the banca channel have been stopped by State Bank of India since 2017, and this is not something that has come up now. and there was no blip even at that time. We are the bank has not been giving any individual awards to its employees, or neither the insurance company is giving any direct benefit to any of the bank employees.
Got it, understood. That's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to catch up on the growth guidance that you gave for FY24 on the AP part.
See, as we have already mentioned, so we just wanted to reiterate that we will continue to see the same kind of growth which we have seen in the current fiscal, and it will be a range bound, as Mr. Jindan said, it will be in the range of around, the APE basis is around 18%, and we will focus on the product mix, as we have always been very clear on that. So overall, we expect that next FY25 will be a similar kind of growth for SBI Life.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shobhit Sharma from HDFC Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a few questions. So firstly, around the cost structure. So if I look at our expenses of management other than the renewal commission, to the APE ratio, it has moved up from 35% last year, 9 months period, to 37% this year, despite a huge deterioration in our product mix. If you can help us understand that, what is playing over there? Another thing is, you mentioned that despite the equity market being performing, we see higher ULIP, higher surrender towards the ULIP side. So how much of business are we able to channelize back in the form of new business? Means, is the churning in the new business, in the ULIP surrender helping us in fueling our growth? Also, we understand that due to IRDA regulations, we can now attach some of the riders along with the ULIP products. Are we doing that? And what's that percentage, if you can understand, as an attachment? Thank you.
See, as far as the cost structure for the company is concerned, there is no change during the last quarter or vis-a-vis 9 months to 9 months. Whatever numbers you are mentioning, it is predominantly due to the normal business expenditure which has gone up. Which we have appropriately taken into account, that for example, like some infrastructure cost and the cost towards the digital adoption and related to our employees are concerned. So the employee strength also have gone up, the branches of new branches have gone up, and our digital adoption also has gone up. So the predominantly the increase of around 1 to 2% is immaterial as far as the overall expense structure of the company is concerned. As far as these high ULIP surrenders you are mentioning about, that I think it is a factor of the market and the plus the product feature. So as we already mentioned, that if the product feature allows you to post 7 years of PPT, you can surrender. And based on the market scenario today, and you know there's the best time to capitalize that opportunity, some of the investors have, or the customers have done it. So that is the reflection which is being shown here. But we don't see any concern per se at that point of view. So we will continue to focus, because our revival campaign as well as our surrender prevention measures which we have been taking, that has also given us some good result, and we are able to convert some of the surrenders also either by restricting them or by converting into the new business. So that has also given us good number for us.
So any number around the new business churn we are getting? And also,
no, there is no churning per se. The, what I mean to say is that the product feature allows you to surrender after 7 years. So then the customers get convinced to put in money into the other products of the company.
Yeah. So is there, what kind of amount of business, let's say the surrender is 100 crores, so how much of percentage are we able to get back in the coming new business?
No, so there is a specific number on
not
that.
Tracking that.
Not tracking that.
That kind of number.
Okay. And sir, last question is on strategy towards the individual retail protection. We have seen that on quarter-on-quarter basis, we have been slowing down Q1, Q2, Q3. So what's the strategy going forward? What are we doing to bring it back on track?
So as we said, this quarter, our focus on protection, increasing protection in the business mix is always there. And this quarter, we are taking some concrete steps. We are also introducing some products which can be easily sold online also and on the digital channel of SBI also. So that particularly, we expect good numbers in the current quarter.
Okay, sir. And the attachment ratio in case of ULIP for attaching the riders, any numbers around it?
No, we don't have any specific number for that.
Okay. So you also mentioned that the costs have increased because of shift towards a longer period. Can you give some numbers around it, whether it was towards the 10 PPT or the 5 PPT, how it has moved in percentage terms?
No, we don't specify any number, but basically, longer-term product offer better return because and good for us as well because we're getting the instrument to lock in for longer term. We offer better return to the longer-term customer, and the customer hence customer opt on that perspective. So there's nothing specific or anything. We give the full bouquet of the within the product, A7 to 10 pay, and to looking into particular number of product that customer look into. We don't track those shift moving from, but we do see attraction coming from the longer-term product and account definitely on account of the better customer return to the on the PPT.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit from BOB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So first is the non-par, wanting to understand, you know, what the IRR that you provide, and have we repriced the products, you know, over the last 9 months? So that's point number one. Point number two, while we understand that retail protection, you are introducing new products and other things, you know, to increase the growth. But just wanted to understand, is there any scope to reprice the existing product line? So those were my two questions.
I think, again, the non-par, when you price the product, we try to optimize this value for that. So as you mentioned earlier as well, the non-par product we have repriced twice the price depending on the interest rate movement perspective. And there is a both the side movement happens. Some of the product we have IRR has increased, some of the product IRR has gone down. So there is always an opportunity to reprice. Looking to the second question, for all other products, we continuous reviewing our product portfolio, both customer view, value perspective, shareholder perspective, and distribution perspective, particularly for demand and other prospect. And when required, we do that. I think thanks to that, IRD and that perspective will allow us to reprice the product on several events. And as a result, we have been very active in that perspective. And as when required, we do reprice those products. So there is always the opportunity to revisit and reprice the products, particularly for the guarantee products.
Understood. So just wanted to understand what was the IRR earlier and what it is now. If you can just throw some color, that would be more helpful.
So not much much impact. I will not give any specific number because very difficult. We are not tracking that because even the non-par product we have repriced three times. Agree. So version 1, version 2, and version 3. It's our reflection. Just to clarify that regulator allow us to reprice the change on the interest rate moment. As and when interest rate moment happen, are we able to lock in the better return instrument? We increase the IRR. As and when it go down, we also protect the shareholder value by memory perspective. We reduce the IRR perspective.
All right. So just wanted to confirm, we have repriced this product three times over the last 9 months. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi Joshi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. But just one quick one again. So, can you please elaborate the reasons why we saw a good pickup in the non-par business, as you mentioned earlier? And also, can you also help explain the reasons behind the weakness in the participating products, please? That's it. Thank you.
As we mentioned, the focus was on the product mix, and which we have been ventured into this in the last 2 years. And this year in the third quarter, particularly, we have seen a good traction in the ULIP plus the non-par. And as already mentioned by Mr. Jengran, we will be focusing on the product mix in this last quarter also. And our focus is that definitely on the non-par segment. Within non-par, it will be non-par savings and protection. So this is our focus area for the company on this particular FY24 and going forward also in the FY26. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Mr. Joshi, any further questions?
This is it from me. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. The next question is from the line of Sahej Mittal from 3P Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So just one data keeping question. What would be a lapse rate for non-par guaranteed policies for 13, 25th and 37th month?
We don't disclose the LOB level percentage. The company level percentage we already disclosed on that. And there's no specific differential in the percentage. Percentage rate are more or less similar to the particular initial year, more or less similar to the ULIP. And other. So community percentage and non-par percentage are more or less similar for the initial year. Later you can say the percentage is much better in non-par because you leave the there's no standardized charge and people fund will grow up and people see the value and that cost will take it. Whereas in non-par products, you see the much better value coming in the maturity. So you customer will keep stick to those policies.
Got you. Thanks. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now request Mr. Amit Jhingran to give us the closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Okay, so thanks a lot to all of you for taking out time this evening and being with us. I hope all your queries and curiosities have been satisfied by my team here. And for any other clarification, you may get in touch with our investor relations team. Thanks a lot. God bless you all.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of SBI Life Insurance Company Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.